All right, everyone. Hello, Holly King. Welcome to my podcast. This is Wild Kingdom Wellness. We will talk about everything well in this podcast. We will explore topics that include subject matters like spirituality, physical, mental, emotional health, and also the things you see going on in the world around you. So if you are ready to go on this Wild Kingdom Wellness ride with me, then make sure that you subscribe to this podcast. You also share this particular podcast and more with others. I will be exploring the realms that people are afraid to go into, and you will not want to miss these episodes. So, Holly King, Wild Kingdom Wellness, welcome to my journey.
All right. Hello, everyone. Holly King, welcome to episode 1 of the Wild Kingdom Wellness Podcast. Ladies and gents, today is January the 9th, 2026. It is Friday. The moon, she is precisely in the sign of Libra, and the color of the day today is pink. What am I talking about? Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the start of each podcast, I will be reading to you from the Llewellyn's Witch Datebook of 2026 for this year, which is my almanac that tells me where the moon is and what the color of the day is, but more importantly, what day it is, because I'm that type of person that wakes up in the morning from that sleepy dream state and says, oh my God, I'm back. So welcome to my podcast this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the inaugural episode 1 podcast of Wild Kingdom Wellness. And so what are we going to talk about today? Well, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to talk a little bit, just a tiny bit, about me and why I am starting this Wild Kingdom Wellness podcast. You are not going to want to miss any episodes. We're going to create a breadcrumb trail when it comes to finding resources that will help you, the listener, and individuals find wellness in places that you never even thought to look. So make sure again that you like, you subscribe, share this podcast with the people you care about so that they also can participate in the gospel of wellness. So let's get started, guys. All right. As I mentioned, it is Friday. It is January the 9th, 2026. I am going to introduce myself today in the context of who I am as a holistic health practitioner. So my background is that I am a licensed massage therapist in 2 states, the state of Indiana and Kentucky. I am also a Karuna Reiki master teacher. Karuna means compassion, for those of you all that don't know what that means. So I am a Karuna Reiki master teacher. Primarily, I teach people the entry levels of Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, and help people understand that we human beings are made up of spiritual life force energy, so thus the Reiki certification. I am also a 200 registered yoga teacher. I took my yoga teacher training at Eternal Health Yoga in 2018. That was a journey, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. So I am also a certified health and fitness coach. I am an aromatherapist, QIST, meaning I am clinically trained to talk about essential oil therapies. I am also, ladies and gentlemen, finishing up my certified Bible coach certificate. I am also a certified dream coach interpreter. I received my certification from infamous Roy Colgan, R-O-R-Y Colgan, the owner of Inner Health Today and the past president of the Mirva School of Metaphysics. So, yes, I work in the dreamscape. Also, if you want to know more about me as a human and my career, ladies and gentlemen, I am an intermediate, say that 20 times. An intermediate astrologer. You guessed it. I can read your natal chart in a hot flash. I'm also a tarot card reader. And to sum it all up, ladies and gentlemen, I am a spiritual life force minister. I do hold an ordination under the UniversalLifeChurch.com, which basically means I am a preacher girl without a church. So it's funny, y'all, when people ask me about my spiritual belief systems as a predominant Christian in the United States of America, and I tell them it's complicated. So, but let's get started. So why in the world would I want to start episode one in introducing myself, my career, and my journey as a health practitioner when starting episode one of this podcast? Why would you care? Why would you care to know who Holly King is? Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is my second career path. I am 53 years old. Am I right, Roman-ish? I guess you could call me white-ish. But I'm also, again, as I said, very complicated, because before I became a holistic health practitioner, I was a Kentucky licensed life and health insurance broker. B-R-O-K-E-R. I was a big girl. I had a big girl job. I was white collar. I wore high heel shoes. I wore panty hose that made my thighs chafe. It was not comfortable. I sat at a desk all day. I took incoming phone calls from people who were really frustrated. Now, you're with me now. Frustrated with the healthcare system, the clinical medical healthcare system as a whole, okay? So, and I was drowning at the time of my career, which started in 2000. So 2001, I became licensed. I exited the health insurance industry in 2014 by surrendering my license because, ladies and gentlemen, not only was I frustrated with the innards, yes, innards of the healthcare system, I was drowning in a sea of depression as an account executive for a very large agency in the Louisville area, Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville. I'll teach you how to pronounce it later and why, guys, because I am from that deep, dark city of Louisville, Kentucky. But nonetheless, y'all, the healthcare system in 2013 and 14 was completely coming apart by the seams internally. And I, as an account executive of a large agency, running a $3 million, within a $1 million book of business, almost single-handedly. However, I did have a little bit of help. And kudos to the account representatives who helped me through the process of trying to figure out what the F was going on with the healthcare system in 2013 and 2014. As you recall, ladies and gentlemen, that was the implementation timeframe of what we considered in our world the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I was at my wit's end. I was the girl in the office that just did not know what to do anymore when it came to the costs and the trends and the frustrations of our healthcare system. And so what I did, like any classic Scorpio, which we'll talk about that later, I told my boss to take this job and stick it up there. Listen, I was not happy. I was not happy about what I saw going on in the world around me. As a woman, as a healthcare executive, I did not like what I saw in the world going on around me. And I knew, y'all, listen, I knew I had a spiritual download in 2013 that said, this healthcare system is going to tank. And not only is it going to tank, or more so, it was revealed to me by spirit that the healthcare system was going to implode on itself. And I said, I am not going to collapse under the weight of the stress that this healthcare system is putting on me personally as a powerful, high-octane, high-outputting woman in the insurance business. I said, I remember where I was sitting. I actually had moved my family to Bowling Green, Kentucky for 6 months in this job, okay? Let me take you back again. This is my first career as a big girl in the health insurance industry. Okay. And I remember sitting at my desk one day, and it was later in the evening, I do believe. And I said, I'm going to call my boss. And I dialed him direct from my office. And I said, I'm going to quit. I'm walking out. I'm done. I'm not taking this stress anymore, because my body, y'all, my body, my mind, my spiritual person inside of me said, this is insane. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here with the trends and the costs? And the biggest thing, y'all, and we're going to talk about this later in future episodes. So again, you are not going to want to miss the podcast by Holly King at Wild Kingdom Wellness, because I'm just going to talk about my journey. And I'm going to be nice, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. And if you remember, I said I am a Karuna master teacher. Karuna means compassion. So when I tell you all my story, and when I talk about my experience as a large group account executive in the healthcare system, I am going to share with you all my experience for almost 15 years, okay? Almost 15 years. And I'm going to tell you what I saw 10 years ago and why I got the hell out of the healthcare system. Because I told my boss, back to my thought, I told my boss when I resigned, I said, I'm leaving this industry. Everything's crooked. Okay. I'm being thrown under the bus. At the time, I was being thrown under the bus, y'all, for a death claim that I had nothing to do with, that on an account that I had inherited. Okay. Because you inherit, as an agency, you inherit these accounts from other agencies to try to fix their healthcare system, their management, their fiduciary responsibility to take care of their employees through healthcare and through employee benefits. And I had inherited a 1,000 life group account, a very large account down in Southern Kentucky. Okay. And again, I'm just telling y'all why I walked out. And I said, I'm not going and I am not falling on the knife for this. This had nothing to do with me. I can poke holes in what happened. This is a corrupt story. And I'm leaving this career making almost six figures without a plan. At the time I was in Bowling Green, I said to my boss, I'm moving my family back to Louisville. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go to massage therapy school. That's what I told my boss on the phone, sitting at my desk. I remember the moment. And he paused because he knew I was telling the truth about, you know, me being thrown under the bus under this account that our agency had inherited. And I had said, he was like, a massage therapist? Really? I went, yeah. And he's like, you know, they don't make a lot of money. And I said, I don't care. Let me tell you why I'm going to go be a massage therapist. I had had a massage in Bowling Green. I think it was Bowling Green. I had had a massage not too long before I quit my job. And it changed my life, y'all. It changed my life. It was the first professional massage that I had ever had. Okay. And it was with somebody that I didn't know. But I knew that they had laid hands on me. And again, y'all, I'm Christian-ish. So they had touched me and showed me how much stress and anxiety that my 36, 7, 8-year-old body, whatever, however old I was in 2013, 12 and 13, my body was in so much chronic pain from stress, I weeped. I cried. Y'all, I cried after that massage therapy session. And that's when I had the revelation to go, I'm out. F this. I quit. They can take this $100,000 a year and stick it up to Rudy. I'm gone. And so I quit my job. We moved our entire household back to Louisville, Kentucky from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I had no idea what to do, but I had enough savings. Okay. Y'all hearing me now? Now you're listening. I had just enough savings, ladies and gentlemen, to pay for massage therapy school. And I walked in to massage therapy school here in Louisville, Kentucky, and I handed the instructor a check and I said, I want to do this. He said, okay, no questions asked other than, you know, general, you know, why are you here? You know, you don't have to go through, you know, psychology 101 to go to massage therapy school. Although on the flip side, after 10 years of being a massage therapist, you might want to. So let me just throw that out there. Massage therapy, y'all, is not for the faint of heart. Not at all. But yeah, I just said, I'm done. So I took my savings and I plugged it into massage therapy school. There was some resistance there in the process of transition, okay? And I'll talk about that later because my life was overturned, okay? It was overturned. But I was tough. I was resilient as a woman. And I knew in the depths of my soul, I wanted to get into the wellness industry, okay? So when I quit my job as a health insurance agent, and let me back up a little bit so you understand the history before we can go forward into the future with the rest of these podcasts. When we had the Obamacare Health Care Administration implementation into our nation as an entity, okay, so when the health insurance agencies across the United States, not just in Louisville, not just in Kentucky, not just in the region, y'all, across the U.S., okay, when the health care reform 2013-14 Act. So ACA, look them up, Google it, ask chat, GTP, or Grok, if you're a Grok human. Listen, ask your device, what was happening during the ACA, Affordable Care Act, implementation, and what were the rules of the game? Okay, so what was the rules of the game when President Obama decided to reform healthcare? Did he do it single-handedly? I don't think he did. I think back then, that was when the executive branch of the government and the Congress and the House and the Senate and the legislation and all the city council people were kind of sort of working together to go, yeah, the healthcare system, people can't afford it. They can't afford their drugs. You know, people are getting addicted to opioids. Like, we're going to have to manage the cost, the rising trends, the cost of healthcare system, because, y'all, we had back then trends of pharmaceutical reports. Now, don't quote me on this, but don't make me go back and get the data right now. I'm in the middle of my first episode, okay? I'm going by memory right now. This is my memory. But, y'all, we had trends in the pharmaceutical the cost of pharmacy behind the scenes. There were trends of 7, 10, 20, 40, 60, 80, 200% increase in cost. You're like, why so many? Why the variance? I'm going to tell you why. Okay. It depends on the drug. Now, I am not a pharmacist. I am not a doctor. I am not a clinical therapist. This is not legal advice, and I will never tell you what to do or what not to do. I will not tell you not to take your medication. I will not tell you to start medication. You do you, boo. But I'm going to tell you what my experience is as a previous healthcare administrator to say, you know, your generic drug might be fine. Okay, if it's costing you $4 for your refill every month, you're paying that copay, which I doubt it's $4 anymore. It's probably more like 25, maybe 10. Depends on your healthcare plan, what tier you're on. But anyway, just saying, your generic drug's probably fine. But when you go listening to the white coat fellas and women, and they say, yes, there's this new innovative drug that is better and more effective. It's been out for 6 months. You saw it on TV advertised throughout your Family Feud episode, probably 6 times, maybe 2. I don't know. And they're like, here, let's switch it out. Let's put you on the newer drug. Let's put you on the newer drug. And then we'll try you for 4 or 5 months and we'll go ahead and we'll see if you're better. Okay. So what the person does, the patient generally will do, what I would do in the past, as I would go, well, I'm in pain. I don't feel good. I'm sick. Just give me a drug. I don't want to take personal responsibility for what's going on. So let me just go ahead and I'll go. They're like, it's going to cost you a little bit more. How much more? $25 more. Copay. Okay, fine. Whatever. So I'm paying $5, $10, $15. It's going up to the second, third tier. Doctor says it's new. It's probably got better drugs in it. I'm just going to take it. So then we literally, we walk our little butts into the pharmacy. And we take the brand new drug because the generic sounds like it's not going to work anymore. That's BS for the most part. That is allegedly, I'm telling you all, allegedly, I feel that that's BS. Okay, so just clarification there. And why do I think that? Because I had enough history in the healthcare system to recognize the fact that the drug constitution, okay, the constituents, the chemicals inside of the drug were basically the same, because when you rebrand and you repatent a drug, but you sell it for the same purposes, generally speaking, ladies and gentlemen, it has the same components as it did before. They just change the binders, the fillers. They might add or extract a certain molecular structure in that drug, but they also spend bazillions of dollars, allegedly, on rebranding that drug and making it nice and shiny and paying for advertising. And the pharmaceutical companies, no, I did not hang myself in prison. The pharmaceutical companies, y'all, they know. They're like, yeah, we'll just make it more shiny, more pretty, more features, more enhancements, smoother to swallow. And we're encouraging more. And behind the scenes, y'all, they do this over and over and over again. On top, one drug on top of another. And then all of a sudden, the profitability of the healthcare system, of the pharmaceutical companies, is astronomically, you know, going into their pockets. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are allegedly taking pretty much the same drug you were when you were paying $5 or $10 for the copay. Did you know that? Comment below if you can. But y'all, listen, I'm not mad about prescription drugs. Listen, I'm on mama's little helper, okay? I take a little white pill in the morning, you know, and I just started back on that anxiety medicine, okay? I just did. I was like, I have ADHD. At some point, I need to acknowledge that, or at least at best ADD. Should I self-diagnose? No, but I do have GAD, okay? General anxiety disorder. I bet you, if you go into your medical chart, and look at the history of your medical diagnoses, you may, if you have ever gone into your doctor's office and said, I'm stressed, and they really started talking to you about stress, chances are they're going to put in their client, a patient comes in with GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. I learned about GAD in several of my continuing education massage therapy classes. Because why? Because so many people now fast forward into the future. Come jump with me, y'all. Come on, let's take that quantum leap of understanding. Y'all, the word stress is now a household name, okay? And so everybody's stressed out. And so what the doctors, in my opinion, as a body worker, do when somebody says, I'm stressed out, I don't know what to do, I'm frustrated, I'm aggravated. And if they give them mama's little helper, or daddy's little blue pill, or whatever it is, and they're like, here, you just have a case of GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. And from my research as a patient of GAD, I have diagnosed GAD. I can pull the files out and show it to you. Like, I keep a record of a lot of stuff. I'm also certified in the Akashic Records, by the way. Akasha, look it up. Ask ChatGTP. Ask Grok. There's a new app. Theo Vaughn, who is someone that I absolutely salivate over, y'all. Listen, podcaster, YouTube, right? Theo Vaughn made a recommendation of a new AI buddy app that's not ChatGTP. It's not Grok, but it's called Perplexity, okay? I know we're on audio here, but show you the camera on my phone, this little black app on my phone in case we do show this video at some point. Y'all, Perplexity is my AI buddy, okay? And that, I'm not getting paid by Theo Vaughn, but Theo, if you get this message, I saw your interview recently with Leanne Morgan, the comedian. I love her. Tell her Holly King said hello, okay? From Kentucky to Tennessee, we are the central part of the United States of America. And I've been stalking your videos lately. Stalking meaning obsessed with. I'm not stalking you, Theo. I'm not. Listen, I'm not. I'm old enough to be your mama, too. So me and Leanne, we're old enough to be your mama. But listen, that's a great app. I love Perplexity. So thank you very much. If you catch this video, this audio, this podcast, Wild Kingdom Wellness, for social media. Just look for me, okay? I'm Holly King. But back to my story. And Theo, yes, you should plug me. Sponsorships, Theo. Theo Vaughn. Let's talk. I got some info for you. Y'all, I'm telling you, the healthcare system has collapsed on itself. I have now leaped a decade into the future as a massage therapist, as a body worker, you know, as a mom. Now I'm a grandma. Okay, I got a grandbaby. And I have spent the last 10 years of my massage therapy career working on the people that I used to work with in the healthcare system. They're my clients. And they know, but I'm telling you the truth. They know that the healthcare system is wildly out of control. And they know. It's a scary place out there when it comes to you dealing with health issues and getting and receiving access to care. Because with the spiritual download that I received back in 2013 to get the F out of the healthcare system, the other part of that that was spiritually shown to me by God was that not only was the healthcare system going to collapse on itself, human beings would not have quality access to care. It was the term that reagents use. Because see, here's the thing, y'all. I don't think you realize about healthcare agents, okay? We're not the bad guy. Healthcare agents are fighting for you to stop the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, and carriers, the reinsurance companies, from taking advantage of you, the employer who provides insurance for the people, and you, the people who buy insurance off the healthcare marketplace. It is not the role of the healthcare agent to go, hey, listen, you might want to renegotiate your rates because your claims are bad, okay? You got a lot of smokers in your group. You got a lot of obese people in your group. And again, y'all, I live in Kentucky. We're working on it. We're working on our big booty butts, okay? And working on my big booty butt. And I can talk about having a big booty butt because I used to weigh almost 200 pounds. I do not anymore. But we'll talk about that later. Stay tuned to this wellness podcast because you're going to want to understand how the heck did I lose 120 some odd pounds, okay? Without Ozempic, I didn't do it. Maybe some SlimFast. I might have joined a gym or two. Again, took a yoga class, that kind of stuff, you know, organically. But y'all, I did not do the shot. I'm not saying you shouldn't take the shot. I'm going to give you a real de-identified, non-FIPA information. Most of my clients recently that have taken Ozempic or Mounjaro or any of the GLP-1 injections, they're doing okay. Like, I notice, because I'm a body worker, I do look at the human body multiple times a day. You know, ethically, of course. Ethically. We're not playing no Epstein up in my office. Sorry, I'm not. Nope, we don't do that. I'm not that kind of massage therapist. But ladies and gentlemen, what I have seen are some of my clients that are middle-aged and can't get the weight off. Men and women, both, that finally was like, and they would tell me, y'all, here's the thing. Let's say I was seeing a client for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, monthly, working on their body once a month. And all of a sudden, you know, I notice, and they tell me, I work out, I do this, I try to eat right, I don't know what to do. And for me, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to diagnose them or tell them what to do. Now I'm a health coach. I might make some added suggestions when asked, you know, what should I do? Because now I'm a health coach certified. So yes, I could say, in my health coaching certification class by Trinity School of Natural Health, you know, this is what we were taught as far as like, it could be a resource for you or help you set a goal, right? And go, okay, maybe, have you looked into this? I don't say maybe try this. I say, have you looked into this? And the client might say yes or no. But anyway, after 1, 2, 3, 5 years of my middle-aged clients not being able to lose any weight, and suffering with like high blood pressure, you know, higher cholesterol. What I've seen y'all recently is a handful of them. I'm going to say 7 to 10 cases, okay, case studies And again, this is just recently. I've noticed the client come in for their massage therapy session and they've lost weight. Like, I can tell. And here's the thing. Yes, they've lost muscle mass, but some of them were healthy enough because they were already doing the things that they were supposed to be doing in general. And they were like, okay, I've lost weight. But, and their body was pliable. I'm going to use the word pliable enough, like a Charmin, like a two-ply toilet paper. Okay. I'm going to make y'all laugh too. So make sure you subscribe. But listen, most bodies, if people have been exercising and not being able to lose weight, and then they go on the GLP injections, in my opinion, as a body worker, I think that it's probably okay in the short term, again, allegedly, because I've seen the results of several people that have been with me a while that I can track, okay, that I can visually track their fascia, their body, their skin, the palpability of their connective tissue. And I'm like, well, good, it's working for them. So they're not looking like these photos that we see in the mainstream of people like, and I love you, Sharon Osbourne, okay? I'm not saying anything bad about Sharon Osbourne, because which is Ozzy Osbourne's wife, because right now, I'm going to tell you right now, when I die, I'm going over to Ozzy Osbourne land. I love him. And I miss his music live, because we could sing, y'all. Have y'all seen on Paramount Plus? Have y'all seen the Ozzy tribute that Sharon produced, his wife, Sharon Osbourne, and his kids, Kelly and I forget the dude's name. Sorry, it'll come to me later. But y'all, Ozzy Osbourne's family produced a documentary that dropped on Paramount Plus just a few months back, maybe a year ago, give or take. I can't remember. Dates are fuzzy with me. But my husband even cried. Y'all, listen, we bawled our eyes out. Ozzy was such a cool human being. You know, he was not the psychopath that people think he was. Now, he did say, and I'm going to paraphrase for a minute. Ozzy did say in his documentary, because she filmed him the last couple of years of his life. Okay, last few years of his life. After he knew he was, you know, he's like, I don't have a lot of time. I believe it was Parkinson's. He had broken his neck in an accident initially. And that he just went downhill after that. But some of the things that he was going on, you know, the way he had treated his body as a rock and roll star in the documentary in his younger years, he was, you know, he had murdered, but he had been loving Brett, and he did it to himself. So Ozzy was really, really honest about the fact that he was a party animal, but he wasn't that bad, okay? Especially when you look at political and superstar figures 2025 and 26. Like, Ozzy, y'all, in comparison, and Mike, Ozzy was like mild case scenario crazy, okay? Kind of like, this is theatrical. Bite him's head off, okay? And I'm still not convinced, y'all, that that wasn't theatrical, too. I don't know. I need to research the facts of whether or not that was a real bout that he bit the head off of. Some say yes, some say no. I don't know. I was in my late teens, early 20s, but I still have Ozzy's t-shirts. I got a picture. I was gifted this year. I'm going to wrap up soon, y'all. So I hope you're enjoying. Hold, please. Coffee, Tina, if you're listening. I had a secret friend named Tina, and we have an obsession. We have an obsession when it comes to coffee cups, particularly ones you look good with, because, you know, people just throw that shit away. But anyway, Tina, I'm drinking out of my Dr. Seuss thing to coffee cup, and I'm dedicating Tina this podcast to you today. So, love you. Anyway, back to, what was I saying? Oh, about Ozzy. Y'all, this year for Christmas, I was gifted a signed copy, hand-drawn, 8.5 by 11 picture of Ozzy Osbourne by a local artist here in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was the best gift I had ever received in my entire life, ever. So, she know who she is. I'll dedicate another podcast to her. As a matter of fact, as I wrap up this morning with you all, because I do have to go to work. Guys, listen, not only am I going to tell you all stuff about my history and my life as a massage therapist and bring to you my experiences as a woman and what I saw going on on the backside of the healthcare system. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus because I know what it feels like to be thrown under the bus. And so I will always bring you these podcasts and these videos from a loving heart. Like, I promise you, like Ozzy, I will admit when I screwed up. Okay. I will admit that I have not done everything right. Y'all, I have messed up a lot of times in my life. But I'm doing this podcast, you all, because I want you to realize, like, we're going to have to start owning up to our decisions. Own your shit. Okay? By doing so, you might just find that your body and your mind and your spiritual health, the wellness side of who you are, might even start to come into alignment because you start to speak your truth when you say to people nicely, when you say to people nicely, listen, I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree with that. And y'all, that's the reason I walked out of the healthcare industry, was because I didn't agree with the data and the talking points. And now here I am 10 years into the future, more like 16 years into the future. And there was a lot of in between in going from a corporate Hayek Octane Woman, which is a book, y'all. I forget who the author is, so forgive me, but we'll talk about books later. But there's a book out there. There it is on my shelf. Dr. Sherry Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, like the ex-president, Jimmy. There's a book, y'all, that I read when I left the health insurance industry. I was a high output person. I always will be. I'm Scorpio. Can't help it. But I read this book, or most of this book, called Perfect Octane Woman by Dr. Sherry Carter. And the whole concept of this book said there are women in executive positions that are just high output, and they deal with it. They deal with the corporate model. They deal with raising the family. They deal with washing the dishes. They deal with doing the laundry and doing the shopping and counting the money and building social networks and going out and doing sales and networking with other women. Companies that don't like what they see going on around them, and they get just enough, high enough, y'all, up the corporate ladder to where they're willing to play the game. Because just like I was making six figures, right at it, in between 80, 90, depending on the bonuses, you know, I was up there. And again, this is 13 years ago, guys. You know, now it would be more like, you know, $120,000 a year. I wouldn't do that job in the healthcare industry as an agent for less than $120 a year, as an account executive, okay? Running $3-4 million books of business. Now I'm sure it's more because, again, you got to scale the cost of healthcare 10 years into the flying future, guys. Come on. But I was a high-octane woman. And what I did, y'all, is I took that model, that energy, that passion, that kundalini to see people find resources and have access to good quality healthcare, because I knew the system was tanking. And I poured that much energy into my own little massage therapy practice business called the Reiki Station. And I opened up my own business on chicken scratch. Seriously. Like, I took my savings. I went to massage therapy school. I networked. I asked the hard questions of people. Why are you stressed? Why do you have anxiety? Why does your body hurt? Why are you resistant? Why? I'm the why girl now. You can hashtag me why girl. Why girl why? Hashtag why girl why. And I read that book and I said, that's me. I'm a high octane woman and I can do some stuff. Okay. So if you are interested in learning about holistic healthcare coaching, if you're willing to talk to your doctor about making healthcare change, okay, then I'm probably the person you should coach with at least once. Because, guys, in my own personal opinion, the healthcare system's gotten so muddied, it's not really the doctor's fault that they can't keep up with how many things you have going on with your autoimmune or whatever. Again, allegedly, okay? But if you start working with health coaches and people in the wellness industry, massage therapists, You know, you start doing yoga, getting Reiki, making dietary changes. That's the next cert, y'all, I want to go after. Certified nutritionist. Maybe. But y'all, ask the questions. Get a health coach. Talk to your doctor, your healthcare provider, your spiritual practitioner, your priestess, and ask them, do you see any value in hiring a health coach right now? Because if so, this is my call to action to you to come talk to me. Okay? I will help you identify why I'm not afraid of my medicine anymore. Well, maybe there's a program out there that can help you. Okay? Why am I fighting with my mom? Well, there's a program out there that could help you. Let me help you find it. Why am I gaining weight? Why am I losing weight? Why is my muscle mass dying? Well, being a certified fitness instructor and a yoga teacher, you know, you gotta stretch. Why? Why, girl, why? That's the question. So hit me up. Schedule an appointment online. www.thereikistation.coach. reikistation.coach. You can also find me on social media under the hashtag Wild Kingdom Wellness. I am Holly King again. It's Friday, January the 9th, 2026. This is episode 1 of my Wild Kingdom Wellness podcast. Have an amazing, beautiful day. We'll see you soon. Bye. All right, guys, just a little disclaimer here by myself, Holly King. I am not a medical doctor, a licensed clinical therapist, or a mental health therapist. All information and coaching provided is for educational and supportive purposes only and should not be considered medical or psychological advice. Please do consult your physician, licensed therapist, or another qualified healthcare provider before making any changes related to your health or even before beginning any coaching. So what that means, guys, is just consult with your doctor when you decide to check out our podcast. We'll see you later, all right? Bye.